This morning, let's turn to chapter 21 and begin our lesson in the fifth verse of Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21, 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, and neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. I am convinced that complaining is a state of mind. That it is possible to have your mind set in a pattern of constant complaining. That becomes a habit of your life, and extremely difficult to break. There are some people that get to the place where they can see the bad in anything. It's just their mindset. It's just the way they think. You bring up any issue. You say, oh, you won the Irish sweepstakes. They're going to pay off $568,000. They say, oh, that's horrible. Think of all the taxes I'm going to have. You know, they can see something to complain about in every issue of life. And this was the sin of Israel. One of the prevailing sins of the people was their constant complaining. Now, it is true they had something to gripe about. For 38 years, their main staple was manna. They've been eating this stuff now for 38 years there in the wilderness. And it was a very bland food. Not much flavor to it, just a little bit of sweetness, but extremely mild. And it no doubt did become rather sickening after 38 years, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, manna. And I can understand they're getting tired of it and saying how that our soul loatheth this light bread. We're sick of it. We're tired of it. And so they began to complain against this manna. But in reality, there was much to be thankful for in this manna. If they had not had the manna, they would have starved to death a long time ago. So they could have looked at it and said, oh, thank God for the manna this morning. If it weren't here, think of how hungry we would get. So inasmuch there is something to perhaps gripe about, yet on the other hand, there was plenty to be thankful for in that God did provide them with the manna and kept them from starvation. It no doubt was extremely nutritious. It had all that they needed to sustain their lives as far as vitamins and minerals and to keep them going. In fact, in Psalm 78, it says that God fed them with angels' food. So this manna was actually angels' food. But, you know, there are some people you give them angels' food and they can find something to gripe about. Now, it is true of every circumstance of our lives. No matter what happens to you, you can find something to gripe about. Or, no matter what happens to you, you can find something to be thankful for. And there are some people that have that beautiful capacity of seeing something good in everything. No matter what has happened, they can accept it, they take it, and they can flow with it, and they can see some potential good out of every situation, where there are some people that can see potential danger or evil out of every situation. It's how you have set your mind. Your mind can be set in a pattern of thanksgiving, or your mind can be set in a pattern of complaining. And it's your mindset. It becomes the pattern of your life itself. So that no matter what happens, you're thankful, you're happy, you see that God is going to work things out, or no matter what happens, it's horrible, it's the end of the world, you're never going to make it beyond tomorrow, this is it, this is the end. And people live in those crisis disasters all the time. They go from one to the next. Life is just one continual disaster because that's the way they look at it. That's their mind frame, is to expect the worst, and then you'll never be disappointed. But what people don't realize is that complaining is a sin. Now, when the fiery serpents came into the camp and began to bite the people and they began to die, they recognized that this was a judgment of God because of their complaining, and they came to Moses and they said, "We have sinned because we spoke against God and against you." They recognized that their complaining was actually a sin, and God looked upon it as sin. Now, the Word of God tells us, be thankful for everything. But in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, if God has sort of ordered you to be thankful, then for you to be complaining or griping is a sin. And they recognized it as a sin. They came to Moses and they said, "We have sinned against God and against you because we spoke against God." And they recognized the fact that God looks upon complaining, murmuring, griping as a sin. In a week or so, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. For we have set aside one day in the year in which we said, "Oh, we need to be thankful." So for one day, we're going to be thankful. I really feel that it would be much wiser if we would set aside a national gripe day. One day of the year in which we're going to air all of our gripes and all of our complaints. And then the other 364 will be thankful. We'll just go around thanking God for everything. But one day, give you one day of griping every year. But complaining is a sin. And God brought judgment into the camp because of their complaint. These deadly snakes began to strike the people, and they began to die, and they came to Moses. They confessed their sin. And so they said, "Pray for us." Now, it is interesting that when Moses prayed, God didn't just heal the people. He could have. God could have just caused the snakes to go just as he caused them to come. But he didn't do that. Instead, he said to Moses, "You make out of brass, a fiery serpent, and put it on a pole in the center of the camp. And it shall come to pass, when every man has been bitten by one of these snakes, if he will look at the brass serpent there on the pole, he will be healed and not die. So God gave really a choice to the people. I'll provide for their healing. I'll provide for their forgiveness. I'll provide for their living, but they're going to have to do something about it themselves. They're going to have to exercise their power of choice. You make this serpent of brass. Now, brass is always a symbol of judgment as far as metals go. And the serpent is always a symbol of sin. Now, the people confessed, "We have sinned." The brass serpent on the pole was the symbol that God had judged their sins. So if you will just look at the brass serpent on the pole, when you've been bitten by the snake and as you're lying there dying, just turn and look at the brass serpent on the pole and you'll be healed. You'll not die of the snake bite. Now, I can see in my mind a man lying there in convulsions on the ground. He has been bitten by one of these snakes, and he's dying. And I run up to him, and I said, "Hey, friend, look. Take a look. In the center of the camp, there's a brass snake up on a pole. Just look at it, and you're going to be all right." And he says, "Don't give me that, man. I don't understand that at all. How can looking at a brass snake help me in this condition?" You expect me to look at that when I don't understand it? Hey, I don't know how it works, but I know it does work. I've seen hundreds of people all around you in your same condition. They were dying too, and they looked, and now they're all right. They're walking around, and they're in good shape. Yeah, but look at all those hypocrites that are looking. I don't want to look because there are too many hypocrites looking there. Hey, but you're going to die if you don't look. Ah, don't bug me, man. Get off my case. I'll look when I'm good and ready. And a guy dies. You say, "You fool. All you had to do was look, and you would have lived. That wasn't so hard. God didn't lay out some big trip. He made it so simple for you. You could have lived so easily. All you had to do was look at God's provision, and you would have lived. But you have chosen death in your own folly. For whatever reasons." And God looks upon man that way today. God cried out through Ezekiel, turn ye, for why will ye die, saith the Lord? Now, in coming to the New Testament, Jesus declares to Nicodemus, who came to him at night, and so said to him, "We know you're a teacher that's come from God. No one can do the things you're doing unless God is with him." And Jesus said to him, "Nicodemus, you've got to be born again." "What are you talking about, Lord, born again? I'm an old man. I can't go back to my mother's womb and be born." No, Nicodemus, you don't understand. That's a fleshly birth. But what is important is that each man have a spiritual birth. For that which was born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't get shook or surprised because I tell you, you've got to be born again. "Well, Lord, how can these things then be?" Now, in answer to Nicodemus's question of how can a man be born again, how can these things be, Jesus said, "For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That's the answer to the question of how can a man be born again? Even as the serpent, the brass serpent on the pole, was a sign of God's judgment against sin, so Jesus upon the cross received God's judgment for your sin. Our sins were all judged at the cross. Jesus bore the sins of the world. They're at the cross. The Bible said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own ways, but God laid on him the iniquities of us all." So there upon the cross, Jesus Christ bore the judgment of God for all of the sin of all mankind. And God is saying, if you'll just look at my Son hanging there on the cross and believe that I have sent him to bring you life, you can live. You can be forgiven. You can be healed of your sins. Just looking. God has made salvation within the reach of every man. As Paul said, it isn't something way up in heaven, unattainable by us, where we have to say, "Man, who can go up there to bring it down to us?" Nor is it down in the depths that some guy has to dig down in and get it for you. But it is very close to every one of you. Yes, it's as close as your very mouth. For if thou shalt confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But you have to exercise your power of choice and capacity by looking to Jesus Christ. And seeing in him God's provision for your sin, for he bore the judgment that was due to you for all of your sins and transgressions there upon his cross. He is dying there in your place. And as he is dying, he is bearing the guilt of all of your sins. That's why he's dying. And if you'll just believe in him and trust in him, you will be born again. And you can experience a glorious change in your nature. There are some people who say, "Chuck, I am a chronic complainer. That's just my nature. I know that I just make people miserable around me. But that's just my nature. I'm just a chronic complainer. I wish I weren't. I wish I could look at the bright side of things. But that's just my nature." Yes, that's just your nature. I agree. But if any man is in Christ, he has a new nature. And the old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. That's what the gospel is all about. God can change your nature from one of chronic complaining to one of continual thanksgiving. You say, Chuck, I would like to quit drinking. I know that it's destroying me. But I have the kind of nature that doesn't metabolize and all, and I've got this problem. I know. But what the gospel is, the good news of God today is that God can change you from what you are and make you what he wants you to be, his child. You see, I don't like my horrible temper. I don't like what I do. I know it's destroying me. I know it's destroying those around me. But that's my nature. Yes, that's your nature. But thank God our natures can be changed through the power of Jesus Christ. Just look, brother, and you can live. You know, that person who recognizes his need, that person who says, man, I know it's terrible. I know it's wrong. I know I'm guilty, but I've tried so hard. You don't know how hard I've tried, and I just can't do it, man. It's not in me to do it. That man is close to salvation. I have great hopes for him. He's very, very close. The person that I feel really sorry for and have very little hope for is that moral do-gooder. The man who says, well, you know, I try to live by the golden rule. I do the best that I can. And I try not to hurt anybody, and I always try to look at the positive side of everything. Like to have a positive mental attitude, and really I'm very satisfied with my life. There is the person who is far, far from the kingdom. In fact, they are like a person, they are in that sort of euphoric state of the person who is freezing to death, who decides, well, I'll just take a nap for a few moments and then go on, and they don't realize that that's the sleep of death that's going to overtake them. There's a euphoria. They don't realize how dangerous their condition really is. For this is the condemnation, that God sent light into the world, but men won't come to the light. It's that man who realizes he's a sinner and realizes he needs help, who is willing to turn to Jesus Christ, anything, any hope. But in turning to Jesus Christ, he finds the life and the power of God infused into him. And he is changed. And he knows that glorious power of God. Now, you may have your reasons for not looking to Jesus Christ, but let me assure you, they're all stupid. Because if you don't look, you're going to die. There's no two ways about it. But if you will look, God's promise of eternal life is yours. You can be free from the guilt of your past sins. You can walk out of here today cleansed, innocent, pure before God, if you'll just simply look to Jesus Christ. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so was the Son of God lifted up upon a cross, that whoever would look would be saved and not die.
Can any of you deny that you have not been bitten by that deadly serpent of sin? Can any of you deny the fact of a sin in your life? You say, a sin, Chuck? Wait a minute. Man, loads. The wages of sin is death. Sin is a deadly malady that is destroying our world today. Look what it's doing to the world. Look at the crazy, confused chaos of the world today. Why? Sin. It's destroying humanity. It's destroying you. And there's only one provision that God has made. And that is through Jesus Christ and His taking the judgment of God for man's sin upon Himself there on the cross, dying in your place and providing now salvation. So simply, just look to Jesus Christ in faith, in trust, and you'll live forever with Him. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for making salvation within the reach of each one of us. Making it so simple that we just need to reach out and take the gift that you are holding out to us today. God, help us. God, help the chaotic condition of this world today. In Jesus' name, amen.